Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, the teams are warming up in Glendale, Arizona. Correspondent Andrew Martin on the scene for us there. He is joining us. It may be a little noisy in the background, but hey, Andrew, how you doing? Give us the scene. What have you seen so far tonight?
Yeah, John, thanks so much for having me on. And of course, thanks so much to johncanzano.com for just providing the opportunity for me to be here at the Final Four. It is a dream come true.
Give us an idea. The team's warming up. And how weird is it to see a basketball court in the middle of a football stadium?
It is so surreal, John. It is, when I first walked in, it didn't make any sense. It looks incredibly out of place. I've been in the stadium before and just seen the basketball court down there, and it's the way they have the seats coming up all around it, just going in every direction. It is very strange. And, I feel bad for people that, likely paid thousands of dollars for lower bowl seating, because there's very few actually good seats in the house.
Yeah, I noticed when I was there last time when Oregon played in that Final Four that even the premium courtside seating was 75 yards away from the court.
Yep.
And then the cameras that are around, they have the football style camera kind of floating over the court, don't they?
Oh yeah, they absolutely do. There are many things to impede the views and the lines of sight from every angle. You think, about a basketball game, and the corner seats and the behind-the-basket seats are never really that desirable, but they're also not that bad. But here in this environment, those seats are actually really bad, because when the court ends, the side seating doesn't end. It still goes on for, just dozens and dozens of yards and sections before it even gets to the corner seat. So you might buy a sideline seat and just be way, way off, not even near the court.
Give me an idea of how you think that impacts the atmosphere for the game, or does it still feel like it's loud and every possession is big?
So it feels like, from my perspective, and I've been kind of walking all around, just trying to take in the game from all levels, from all sections, and people are very dialed in. So there's something about your team playing in this type of event that is, it's a dream come true for so many of these fans. And so, every basket, every possession, every blown whistle, there's just a roar from the crowd going up. And really, nobody's having more fun than these Purdue fans, John. in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, UConn might have the edge tonight. I've picked them all along. But if there's any sort of six-man energy or any sort of boost you can get from your crowd, Purdue is definitely going to have an advantage there, because these fans have been going hard. Since Saturday, it's been just absolute nonstop. It's been loud. It's been loud. You walk anywhere in the streets of Phoenix, anywhere in the streets of Glendale, streets of Tempe, it's black and gold. People screaming, "Boiler up, go Boilers." Everyone is here having a great time.
Andrew Martin joining us from Glendale, site of tonight's national championship game. As the game goes, what do you think the key is for Purdue or UConn to win this thing?
Man, so, Purdue's going to be running everything through Zach Edey, of course, as they should. And, UConn's going to have to, keep him away from the basket, keep him off that lower block. I've been watching him practice, and he just over and over again working with the coaches. They just have him out there doing solo work with the coaches, holding the pads, throwing it into him on the lower block. They're muscling him with the pads, getting him a lot of physical bumping, and he's just hitting these soft turnaround jumpers, these drop steps, getting to the basket, really nice soft touch. He's put in a lot of work since last year, and he was really good last year. So for Purdue to be successful, it's all going to go through Edey. And UConn's going to really look to get him in foul trouble. That said, UConn, they're a juggernaut, John. Danny Hurley is one of the smartest coaches in the game. You just watch the sets they run. They're perfect. They run perfect offense all the time. They are obviously composed. They've been here before. Every time the other team, we saw in the Alabama game, they start to make a run. They don't lose their composure. They'll hit that back-breaking three. You know, they've got the slashing game. They've got a good big. I mean, UConn has all the levels.
The women's national championship game drew 18.7 million television viewers. That's making a lot of noise today. Do you get a sense, like, are people talking about that in Phoenix and Glendale?
Absolutely. Everyone's tuned into that game. Everyone was watching that game. I mean, Caitlin Clark is must-see TV. Take nothing away from the national champions, right? South Carolina. They are must-see TV. They're just a machine. Yeah, the women's Final Four, everyone was tuned in. Everyone was definitely talking about it.
Andrew, do you have a pick for the game? You said you picked UConn all along. Are you staying with them, or have those Purdue fans won you over?
You know, I'm loving the Purdue fans, John. I mean, just walking in here 2 hours early, Purdue student section is already jammed, not an open seat in there. They're ready to go. A lot of open seats in the UConn student section. The Purdue kids, they are well hydrated. If it's anything like their last game against NC State, they did not stop from the jump. They have a lot of energy. So, you know, I don't have a dog in the fight. I kind of want it for the Purdue fans, but deep down, if I'm making a pick, I'm going with UConn.
Andrew Martin joining us from Glendale. Before I cut you loose, a lot of coaches there. They have the coaching convention, the John Calipari news, Eric Musselman going to USC, Cal going to Arkansas. How are those stories in your ecosystem? Like, you know, is Cal a good fit at Arkansas? Is Musselman going to work at USC in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've even heard it on your show earlier, saying both fan bases came away thinking that they were the winners of this deal, right? And so they get the resources to get a change of scenery. They get a lot of energy. They got the NIL collectives are excited to have them. So yeah, I think it's a great fit. It's amazing how fast the news spreads down here. It just takes one tweet from a reputable source. People are texting people. I texted a couple coaches as soon as I saw a tweet come out. I want to say it was from Jeff Goodman. And I mean, I had some coaches texting me back, really? Question mark. Like, they hadn't even heard yet. And so it just spreads like wildfire down here. It's kind of a lot of fun just in the midst of, oh yeah, we have some basketball games to be played too.
I love it. All right, Andrew Martin, I'm going to let you get to the game. I look forward to hearing what you think about it. Thank you for joining us from the stadium. Like, where did you have to go to get good reception there? Because I know that's a tough place to get two or three bars.
Yeah, so down by the floor, there was no reception at all. So I ducked back into the tunnel. I'm actually right outside of the locker rooms. I'm looking at the big Purdue logo on the door. Purdue, UConn locker rooms are right next to each other, which is interesting. I wasn't aware that's how it was, but that's how it is. So the teams, when they walk in, walk out, they're going to the doors that are really right next to each other here. So, yeah, back in the tunnel, the bands are nearby. The interview room is right here as well. That's why it's a little noisy. But, yeah, it's a great atmosphere.
All right, have fun with it. Appreciate you joining us. There's Andrew Martin from Glendale, Arizona. Love that insider report. Steven, let's talk about this game. Martin's saying the Purdue fans, he wants it for them, and I get it. I covered Purdue. I was there in 1998 in Lafayette, Indiana, and I was at Mackey Arena. Gene Cady was the coach at Purdue at the time. Brian Cardinal was on that team that I covered. That was an NCAA tournament team. I think they went to the Sweet 16. It was a really good Purdue team, and those fans, they so remind me of the Oregon State and Washington State fans, because in the state of Indiana, Purdue is like Oregon State. Indiana sort of has the brand of Oregon. At least at the time I was there, it did, because Bobby Knight was still the coach at Indiana. Gene Cady was at Purdue. Everybody kind of looked at Purdue as kind of the second act in that state when it came to basketball. Great basketball state, but, you know, John Wooden held up as this great example. It reminds me a little bit of the Oregon State fans holding up Terry Baker, Heisman Trophy winner, as this great example of an ambassador for the school. And here is Purdue all these years later as a one seed, playing another one seed in this tournament. Does it make you want to root for Purdue at least, even though you like UConn in the game?
I mean, it's always fun to see a non-traditional power school win a game like this, right? Win a national championship. Purdue's been in the Final Four. I believe this is the third year in their history of their program ever been in the Final Four, where, of course, UConn won the national championship last season. They had another couple earlier in the 2000s with Kemba Walker and then with Shabazz Napier later. So, UConn is a team that has won a lot of titles. Purdue not. It makes me cheer a little bit for them. But I'm pretty invested in UConn right now, minus the points and the win in some bracket pools and stuff. So I will be cheering for UConn. And that's mostly just money-driven. But if you just talk emotionally, yeah, I mean, I always love to see a nice story like this. Because we talk about the expansion of conferences, John. Purdue is always one of those teams, like, does the Big Ten actually want them? Do they want Rutgers? Do they want, Maryland? Do they want Purdue? I don't know. But so it's kind of like it's one of those teams where they're in the big conference, yes, in the Big Ten, but they're also like the smaller school in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And they are, as you look at land-grant universities, they are included in that land-grant family. And I think, you talk about engineering, you talk about agriculture, so now you get an idea of what the fan base, what the student body is like at Purdue. And I think, as Jerry Palm said earlier in the show, it'd mean just a whole bunch to them to get to this stage. I do wonder about the basketball court itself. I was at that NCAA tournament where the Louisville player broke his leg, and it was ugly, and people talked about, is there something wrong with the court, and is there something can be done about these football stadiums where they elevate and put the basketball court on a platform. Purdue's home court, Mackey Arena, has that same kind of elevated court to it. I'm not saying it's an advantage or a disadvantage, but I kind of wonder, it looks unnatural to me to see players step up off the bench and have to climb onto the court up some stairs. But they do that at Mackey Arena in Indiana. And so I do wonder if there is a comfort level to Purdue playing in a stadium like this on a stage like that. It literally is a stage. But I also just think it just comes down to players. So let me ask you this one. Who's the best player in this game?
It's Zach Edey. Zach Edey is the best player. He's going to be a two-time National Player of the Year. Like, there's really no other answer besides it. The guy gets 24 and 10 and 11 every single night, just rolls out on the court.
When you look at UConn, I watched the semifinals, and I thought to myself, UConn's going to run Edey out of the gym. Like, he doesn't move well. And there were possessions in which he's lumbering down the court and doesn't quite get there, and all of a sudden you've got, players like, Donovan Klingon and Alex Caraban who can really run and will run at the rim. What does that do to a big when you have guys that can run?
Yeah, I mean, and Klingon is not a small guy. He's like 7'1", 7'2", but he's just, more in shape and skinnier. Like, he can run up and down the court. What it does is it tires them out so defensively. He doesn't get in the right position at the right time, right? Like, he's a step late. And when you get a step late, even when you are 7'4", these guys are so athletic and they're so good that they can go up and they can finish and draw a foul. And I think that's where Zach Edey has been so good. He doesn't miss time in the game. And usually you see with big guys, they get in foul trouble. Zach Edey, he's missed like 24 seconds the last two games. Like, he does not foul. He does not foul. He does not get in foul trouble. And when that happens, he sets him such a mismatch on the offensive side. That's where Purdue wants to get you. So I think when you can tire him out a little bit, maybe you can get him out of position once or twice, get him a foul or two, and make him think, okay, I can't just contest every shot like I want to be. I can't be as aggressive as I want to be. And I think that's where UConn can get them a little bit, because Alabama, they played really well in their game, John, in the Final Four. They hit eight threes in the first half, and they were still down at halftime. Like, they played about as good as you could, and they still lost by 15. So I think for Purdue, they're going to have to play their style of game and hit a lot of shots. So if Zach Edey gets in foul trouble, I think that could be a problem, and that's what's going to happen if he does get tired out a little bit.
Do the officials matter in this game? Meaning, we've talked to Tom Crean, the longtime coach at Indiana and Georgia, now on ESPN. He joined us late last week to talk about the semifinals, and Crean said that Edey's a tough guy to officiate. Does the officiating or the way they call this game matter to Edey?
It will, definitely, because it's almost like how Shaq was so hard to officiate back in the day when he was at his peak. Like, he's so much bigger than everybody. Like, you can't call every little touch foul on him because he just goes right through it. But it's also not fair because guys are hitting him really hard. So I do think it just kind of depends if the refs are going to be Allowing the teams to play physical, that's definitely going to favor Purdue in that sense. But if they're calling little touch fouls, I think that that could be a place where Zach Edey gets called for a foul or two here or there, maybe an offensive foul. I think Purdue wants to have it to be physical. I think if it's a physical ball game, they can out-physical UConn, and then they can get the inside-out game going.
I think Braden Smith for Purdue becomes a really important player. If he can hurt UConn shooting from the outside, it really does inhibit their ability to just sort of cave down around Zach Edey and make his life miserable. Because one of the things Edey does well, and I really didn't know this about his game, was like he passes well out of the post.
He does, and he's actually somewhat skilled because he's able to catch the ball and take a dribble and then pass it, like you said. I know it sounds really simple, but even guys in the NBA have a hard time catching the ball in the post or, 15-foot area, taking a dribble and reading the defense and making the right pass. Like, that is a big skill to have, and then he has a soft touch as well. Like, he's an actual skilled basketball player. He's not just a 7'4 guy, so I think it'll be interesting to see. I think UConn's going to come out and they're going to try not to double team as much as possible. They want to stay in those shooters because they can really shoot the ball. Like you said, Braden Smith, really good shooter. But if you can get Zach Edey 1-on-1 and you can get some stops, I think that's where UConn can get him.
Fox 12 Oregon has revealed that the winning Powerball ticket sold Saturday was sold at a Plaid Pantry on Northeast Columbia Boulevard. I feel better already because I was worried it was the airport. Somebody grabbed it on their way out of town, wasn't even an Oregonian. Looks like that Plaid Pantry is going to get a bonus of about $100,000 when the person comes forward to cash in. Hope they do. I teased something with Anna, and I never delivered on it. I had a reader who asked an important question. I answered it in the mailbag today. I want to talk more about it. I'll talk about it in our closing segment.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.